Very good evening to all our dear friends here in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. I have two requests tonight. Number one, please pray for me. The next 4 weeks, the Lord is sending me to 4 mission stations as part of the redeeming of time. Next Lord's Day, Melbourne. Following that is London, then Toronto, then Vancouver, and then Singapore. Please remember, whenever you pray, to ask the Lord to guide and help me to accomplish just what He has sent me for. The second request is, please do not take a leave when I'm away. You will hear a very good preacher, Reverend Kwek Swan Yu. So please come and be blessed. At the same time, when you are blessed, you bless him, you encourage him. So please, be faithful and be consistent. God bless. It's so good to be here tonight. The very fact that we have our breath in our nostrils, life to move, to do. We are creatures of time. And tonight, our topic is redeeming time. Redeeming means to buy back. That's the literal meaning of redeem. How can we buy back time? For whenever time is spent, it is gone forever. I call it a spent check, beyond recall. We all have 24 hours of time per day, no more, no less. I don't have any time more than you, neither do you have more than me. And the only thing you can do with time is to invest in it. You cannot save time. You cannot accelerate time, nor can you slow down time. We are creatures of time, and just to impress on you what it means, tonight we have a few OHPs again. This one is familiar. Please understand, we came into planet Earth without our permission. We're sent here. This is one fundamental fact we all must awake to. Realize that you came here one day when you emerged out of mother's womb into this world of ours. There you are. And one day, in the same manner, without your permission, you will be called away. There is the earth and there's the moon, by the way. There's the sun. And because you are in the solar system, which God has created, by the way, you have to abide by the rotation of the earth, the revolution of the whole world around the sun, and you begin to count minutes and hours, weeks, months, and years. When you've gone round the sun once, that's 1 year, and so on. The day comes when you would be called to give an account of how you have spent your time orbiting the sun. If you are 70 years, you've orbited or revolved around it 70 times. What have you done? Redeeming the time means how we all can live a life that is worthy of the Savior who came. The creator of this whole system has come to earth himself to live on this earth in order that he may buy back a people for himself to dwell out of this earth in eternity. How is your life? Now, I want to share with you, out of God's Word, how the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus Christ, used his time. And this is a very pertinent and precious lesson. I turn you to the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 1. And it will be a narration, reading of the account of how our Lord spent his time. And I pray, you pray please, boys and girls, young people, friends, whenever you hear the word of God, whenever you read the word of God, pray. For when you pray, the Holy Spirit begins to impress on you the truth out of the reading or out of the hearing of God's word. Please pray. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. This reading is to impress on you how our Lord redeemed the time, how he lived with a constant awareness of the shortness of his time. You ask me, what do you mean by his time? He is the Creator, the master of eternity. But when he came on earth, his time on earth was limited. The time of his ministry was just 3.5 years. And therefore he knew, he calculated, he valued every moment of the day. In this reading, you will sense the urgency, how our Lord used his time. Verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. We can learn tremendous lessons from the way the Lord lived, the way he spoke, the kind of message he preached. No padding. He doesn't use a lot of words. What did he say? Repent. Believe the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now watch. Verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Just one command. A very crisp and direct. There's no waffling. Follow me. And I say the same to you, all of you here today who are believers. How many fishes have you caught for the Lord in the fishing for men? How many have you found for the Lord Jesus? Here is the Lord beginning his ministry, sends the urgency. Verse 18. And straightway, meaning to say immediately, this word is repeated again and again and again. Straightway, immediately, right away. Dear friends, begin to learn how to value your time and do not procrastinate, do not delay, do not do things in a half-hearted manner. There never should be a Christian's method of life. Verse 18. Straightway they forsook their nets and followed Jesus. And when he had gone a little further, he saw James and John, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway, you see, please, I hope that these words in the reading of it will impress on you. If you live a kind of humdrum, happy-go-lucky, plenty of time on your hands, sometimes killing time, just going along life's pathway as though nothing's happening. Do not. Verse 20 says, straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum. And straightway again, this word is repeated in order to impress us. And it was the Sabbath day. He entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in that synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him immediately. Dear friends, if there is work to be done for the Lord, if there is anything good you can do, do it immediately, please. We must learn this sense of urgency, a sense of mission. We're not here forever. We're not here to do our own things. The moment you're saved, and I say this, the moment I was saved, the Lord has impressed on me, live for the Lord. Redeem your time. Whereas before you had no idea, no objective, no purpose in life. Now, it's different. Once the Savior has found you, live for Him with all your heart and soul, mind and strength, every day, every moment of every day. This is the way we ought to live, young people, old people. And Jesus rebuked the evil spirit and said, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him, and were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Wow! The people was impressed, were struck, was stunned, astonished. Who is this man? Jesus. Verse 28. Immediately, again and again, I want to impress on you, our time on earth is not unlimited. Do things that ought to be done with prayer and do it immediately. Verse 28. His fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee, and the next word is forthwith, meaning to say, at once. Verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, James and John, but Simon's wife's mother, that is his mother-in-law, lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately... Oh, my friends, please, God is waiting to use you. The Lord who died for you, who saved you, the Lord who loves you and calls you to His service, is waiting to work with you. Are you at His disposal? I challenge you, young people, who are you living for, or what are you living for? Redeeming the time is not theoretical. It's not something that is interesting for today and forgotten tomorrow. When we talk of redeeming the time, I think of that wonderful day when I came under the sound of the gospel. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I was 10. Did I understand? Absolutely. What shall it profit me, a boy of 10, to have a career later on, grow up, gain everything, be successful, which I have been. Yes, God has blessed me with success. And lose his own soul. What must we do? I say, young people, in this day and age, when we all know, we all see the signs of the Lord's coming so soon, what are you doing with your life? Redeeming the time is not theoretical. is not armchair theology. Redeeming the time is, how are you living your life today? Should the Lord come, and we all will believe, and we all say He's coming soon, does it impact on your life, the way you live? Oh, my friends, please, may the Holy Spirit speak to you through the words of Holy Scripture. How you live your life is of concern to the one who put you on planet Earth, the Lord Jesus. He is concerned. He's interested. He's yearning, hoping that some here who have savored of the goodness of Christ, who have received that salvation grace, will say, Lord, take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. What better thing is there for you to do than that? To redeem the time, to live your life from now on for the one who gave you that life, who gave you eternal life. Oh, what a wonderful thing you can do for a wonderful Savior. Now listen. And the Lord came and took Peter's mother-in-law. I pray that you all have a clear picture. This is an old-fashioned house. In those days, everything is very old-fashioned, right? No modern amenities. No electricity. No telephones. No computers. No washing machines. Nothing! Only some palm trees and a thatched house and a barely furnished house, just a bed and some furniture. And there is this lady who is up with a high fever. And there is Peter and Andrew, the sons. He says, Mom, you are down with a high fever. What can you do? And the Lord came and took her by the hand immediately. Oh, my friends, please try and catch the sense of urgency. I've said this until I hope you're not tired. Immediately. The Lord doesn't do half measures. Say, hey, sorry, I can't heal you today, but keep trying. Put on cold packs and I'll come back tomorrow. You'll get better. This is how today's healers are doing. They said, oh, you don't have enough faith. Slowly it'll get better. And they claim they're healing everywhere, everything, even raising the dead. I said, no, dear friends, listen. The Lord Jesus goes everywhere, anywhere, anytime, any place, and whenever He heals, is completely and instantly and irrefutably. You cannot argue that He did not heal. Everyone is completely healed, whether it is an issue of blood or an unclean spirit or paralyzed for 38 years or even from birth. Arm cannot move, instantly began to move. Legs cannot walk, instantly began to walk. Healing. Every time the Lord heals, it is immediately. Oh, my friends, please get into the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You do the will of God, things will go very fast. You can live for Him a different life, a purposeful life, a fruitful life, a blessed life. You can become a blessing to so many people. Redeem the time. Make your life worthwhile. Verse 32, and at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased. Why? Because the fame spread around. Wow! You know, Peter, his mother had high fever. And the moment the Lord took the hand, she came up. Fever was gone and she began to prepare tea for the people. Immediately, that news spread. And everybody came around from the villages, from the towns around there, saying, hey, look, 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 you got any sickness? There's Jesus in town. Come and see Him immediately. That's why when evening came, all the people spread the news and came to see the Lord Jesus. Now follow again. Verse 32. At evening when the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased. Sounds like the A&D department at the Singapore General Hospital. I used to work there, you know. A lot of people don't see doctors until the sun has set. Then they all rush in. Everybody has an emergency. Here is a picture, something like that. And all that were sick, including those who were possessed with devils. Verse 33. Wow. All the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. How wonderful. Don't you wish sometimes how good it would be if I could have been there to see Jesus heal? Isn't it great? Wow. If only there could be a video of those healings and we could see it. How wonderful it would be. Do you think so? I say more wonderful is for us to see with our mind's eye and to believe that Jesus did all those things. What did Jesus say to Thomas? More blessed are those who believe I was resurrected without seeing me. Now, Thomas, you see me. Then you say, Lord, and you believe that I am alive and arisen. We have not seen Jesus, but we love him, whom having not seen, we love and we adore. That kind of faith you must pray for. And when you realize that Jesus Christ, the living Lord, is here with us, calling us, being one with us, how close you are drawn to him. You want to serve him with your life, all your life, with all that you have. Give to him your life, dear friends. What else can you do better than that? Here is the Lord Jesus. Verse 35. Follow him. Follow his prayer method. How do you pray? Verse 35 says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out. Ah, have you experienced the rising a great while before day? It could have been 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Have you ever experienced that praying together with someone or by yourself or with the Lord praying when? 3 a.m., 4 a.m., why not? What do you do? Please do not think always of sleep. Yes. And I say, more sleep, more sleepy. You don't get better by more sleep. You just get more sleepy. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator, Emmanuel, God become flesh and subject to the same pressures and the temptations, subject to the same kind of demands of the flesh as we are. The Lord Jesus Christ. Was he tired? Of course. Did he get sleepy? Of course. Was he hungry? Exactly as we are, so he was. Why? Because he was in the flesh. And Jesus in the flesh, in verse 35, got up in the morning, a great while before day. I want to challenge you, dear friends, and this is part of the thing coming up later on. How many hours of sleep do you have a day, a night? Have you ever analyzed? Did you ever ask yourself, hey, when I was sitting exam, I used to do with 4 to 5 hours sleep every night for one whole week. I did pretty well. And I put in so much more work. True? All of you can say to that, yes. And then after that, why do you need 8 to 9 hours? So the gap is about 4 hours per day. Once you could do with so many. After the exam is over, you sleep 4 hours more, 2 hours more, 3 hours more. Why? What's the difference? Difference is this. When under stress, when there is a purpose, when there is an objective, worthy objective, you found that you really did not need all that sleep, right? True or not? Absolutely. Then after that kind of test and that demand is over and you don't have any more urgent objective, you lapse back to the old habit, the more sleep the better. I say it's not. Verse 35, the Lord Jesus Christ rose up a great while before day and went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. I want to impress this on you. If you do get early in the morning, wake up early in the morning, consider this. Can I not be like the Lord Jesus to find a solitary place to pray? Try it. If the Son of Man, the Son of God, could do it, and he found the necessity to do it, and he found blessing in it, how about us? Is there blessing awaiting you? Or what do? If you do wake up early in the morning. Verse 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. After that healing session the previous night, the fame of Jesus spread even further and faster. And everybody is saying, hey, you look. Started with Peter's mother-in-law, and then all those were healed in the night, and they spread the news. Next morning, all came looking for Jesus. Verse 38. But Jesus' purpose was not to heal. He healed because he had compassion on the people. His primary purpose was not to heal. What was his primary purpose? The primary purpose of Jesus Christ coming to the earth is to seek and to save us who are lost. He came to point us the way of salvation, to declare the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, turn to God in faith and to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and find everlasting life. That was his purpose. But whenever he saw suffering, sickness, inability, disability, out of compassion he healed them. But he does not do it all the time. His primary purpose was not that. Verse 38. And he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Amen. What did he say, the last words? I came to preach the gospel. I came to be a servant, not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to teach people, to point them to God that they may repent and be saved. Dear friends, thank God for that. That you and I are saved because there were faithful men who came out, who preached the gospel. Whether it is Sunday school, or a friend gave you a tract, or someone who led you to Christ in the church, there are so many ways we get saved. Thank God there are those who are faithful and who tell us the good news. Now, having received the good news, what do we do? This is the point. Redeeming the time, meaning to say, whereas before I was saved, I lived for myself. Right? I planned for myself. Everything is I-centered. I was an I-specialist. Yes. Now that God has saved me, all for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my days and all my hours, all my talents and all my gifts are for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you begun to do that? And when you realize what a great opportunity, what a great privilege and blessing it can be to you to begin to live for the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you, and to live for Him all the time with priority, the best you can, as much as you can, wherever you can, then you begin to redeem the time. Now, for some more OHPs, remember this one, and that soon we will be out of this system, outside of this system, into eternity. How will it be with you in eternity? My times are in thy hand. I want to thank my artist, Brother Eric Lim of this church. I conceived of this idea about late afternoon yesterday. And I did a sketch, and this is the result. My times are in thy hand. Dear friends, our life is but a short day. Here I have given each one of us an 18-hour day. The day begins at sunrise, 6 a.m. Here it is, right? Sunrise. And there's you, me, howling away as I stressed last week. No one came into this world laughing, but everyone came crying. Because we come into a miserable world of sin and sorrow and strife and death. That's you going to school. Yes? That is about 7 a.m. in the morning. That's right. All my children go to school at 7 a.m. But very soon at 18 and 19, that is 9 o'clock. All those of you, and as boys, your day is 9 a.m. Still a long way off, isn't it, to midnight tonight, but that day passes all too soon. You graduate, that is about 10, 11 a.m. Pretty good still. Then you get hooked. Right? That's about midday. High point of your life. Very soon it becomes a fast executive, moving around with handphone. That would be 1 or 2 p.m. Great, great. You are really getting along. Today, I'm told, when I had lunch with a friend, he says, you know, my son and daughter, they've just begun their careers, and they don't get home till 9 p.m., sometimes 11. And then when the season is hot, they don't come home till 1 a.m. Here they are, working around the clock. Then very soon they become a jet setter, going around. By the time you're 50 and 60, you begin to enjoy life, you go on Star Cruise. Yeah. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. I said, dear friends, please, don't get caught into the stream of the world. Don't enjoy because life is so good. But I say consider, because this is not far away. That is already about 5, 6 p.m. Sun is about to set. And then, next, you go around not in a Mercedes, but in a wheelchair. And before long, there is the inevitable end for every one of us here. And then, where to? My dear friends, redeeming the time is to recognize that we have only a short day. And what do you do in that short day? God has put you here for a purpose. God has given you the gospel for a purpose. So that when you know the gospel, you become a gospel messenger. Oh, how beautiful the feet of him who brings good tidings of great news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, in this past week, how many friends have you given out a tract to? How many? How many? Or nothing? No idea. No purpose. Never thought of it. I never knew I could give a tract. Why not? You're too shy to speak. You can at least give a tract. I'm very serious tonight. If we talk of redeeming the time, is thinking of how you can live better for the Lord. This is a poem that is very meaningful. Time and eternity. Remember, we are only here for a short day. And then we all must pass into eternity. Now this is this other OHP, now put into poem. Here it is. This one, made into a poem, is this. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. Right? When as a boy I dreamt and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I steadily grew, time flew. Now this I find as I press on, my days too short, my time most gone. One day at last, with set of sun, eternity will have begun. How close is eternity? You say, well, you, not too long to go, soon you'll be gone. I say, you never know. You never know. It could be you, could be me, could be tonight, could be tomorrow. The word of God says, for thou knowest not even what will happen tomorrow, what will be on the morrow. For what is our life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. That is your life. That is my life. The moral and the lesson is, we got to be prepared to go. How can you prepare to go? To someone here who has not found the Savior, or to someone here who is inquiring, seeking, wondering. There's so many who tell me, I'm so afraid to die, because I don't know what will happen when I die. That is the time you must tell that person, there is a Savior who has conquered the grave for you and for me. Come to Him. Have your problem settled. If there is someone here tonight, I say, please do not wait. Because one day, with set of sun, eternity will have begun. Do not wait till then. Do not wait until your last breath and say, I'm going. I don't know where. I'm terrified. No need to. No need to. The Lord is here tonight. The gospel is available. The good news is for you who do not know, young people, old people, friends. The Savior calls you tonight. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are afraid to die. I will give you rest. I will give you assurance. I will give you a place in the everlasting domain. You say, how do I know? How can I be sure? Jesus says, I go to prepare a place. Jesus died, buried, rose, ascended. That is the proof. That is irrefutable proof that my Savior, who says, live for me, is gone ahead for me. Risen from the dead, master of life, conqueror of the grave, is up there. You believe in Him, He gives you a place there. Redeem your time today, dear friends. The clock of life. Another good poem. By the way, some of you will ask me afterwards, can I copy your poem? I said, no need to. All these will come in the printed book that will come. Yes, you'll have everything there. The clock of life is wound but once. No man has the power to say just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. That's right. You cannot know. Why? You are sent here without your permission. You're going to be taken out of it without your knowledge. Now is the only time we have to do the Master's will. Do not delay another day. Your clock may then be still. Oh friends, the time is short. The time is now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Do not wait. And I say to those who want to serve the Lord, don't always say, hey, I wait till I retire. You don't have to wait till you retire. Don't wait. If the Lord has called you, if the Lord has saved you, He has a purpose for you. There is plenty of work for you to do for Him. And I said, there is joy in serving Jesus. There is joy that you know not of. Think of that. Now we shall conclude with some practical, very practical points. How much time can you redeem? Right? Now these are practical things. I resolved. My wife, before we came, said, hey, you haven't changed. I say, I've changed, but tonight is this. When I began practice 36 years ago, when I went to KK Hospital as the head of department, you got to go with tie and look proper, right? When I contemplated going out in the practice, then I said, I'm going to redeem time. To tie the tie, normally, minimum 5 minutes. If you fumble, the 10 minutes. All right, I am quite good. I can save 5 minutes. No tie. 5 minutes saved a day. In 36 years, I've saved 900 hours. Of course, there's nothing to show that you got 9 hours to your credit. But I'm saying this. This is only a small, minor point to say every morning I do not undergo that kind of hassle and tension of tying the tie, adjusting my tie before the mirror to make sure it looks good. And besides, it costs money. Here, this one is very respectable. You know that President Suharto wears this, and Dr. Mahathir also. So actually, when I saw them in papers, I said, not bad, I wear the thing. This is the laughing side of it. This is not so laughing. Sleep less. All right. Now this is serious. Can you sleep less? Answer is yes and no. If you have a motivation, yes. If there is no motivation, no. You must have a proper motivation. When you wake up in the morning at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m., what is it you think of? If you think of the first thing is, oh yeah, I'm so tired, I need more sleep, you will sleep. That's right. If in the morning the first thought is, Lord, you have given me health, can I spend an extra hour with you reading my Bible, studying my commentary, preparing my message for the Lord's Day? You have a motive. Immediately you are bright, you get up and you pray and start your day. People ask me, how is it you don't suffer from jet lag? This week I got to go to Melbourne, and people say, hey, when we go a little travel, we got put out of the gear shift of time. We take weeks to recover. I tell you the secret. When you have a motive, a purpose, and the Lord is with you, when I sit in the plane, if I'm sleepy, I sleep. When I'm not sleepy, I'm with my Bible, or preparing a message, or writing. All the time, redeeming the time for the Lord of time, and you find that your time passes away. When I return from Vancouver, how long does it take you to recover? 1 or 2 days. After that, you can't sleep, no problem. If I can't sleep at 2 a.m., I get up, I begin my day. And work through the day. If I'm sleepy, I sleep for 1 or 2 hours, I recover. No jet lag. By God's grace. If you sleep less, 1 hour, for example, before you realize that you could redeem time, you slept 8 hours. Now my average, 6 hours. Yeah? But of course, it doesn't mean I'm a clockwork. I'm not clockwork. Some days, 4 hours. Some days, 8 hours. But on the average, it comes out to about 7 hours or 6 hours. All right. Now, if you sleep 1 hour less per day for 36 years, you have saved 12,960 hours. Right? That's what you save. You say, but show me. Where is that 1,000 or 12,000 hours? Show me. Where is it? Answer. The sermons preached, the churches ministered to, the trips around the world, the visitations, the articles written, the books published, these are the results of that 12,000 hours.
ours that are redeemed must be used for righteousness, for the Lord, not for anything else. People ask me, how did you produce that book? It must have taken you lots of hours. Answer, I don't play golf. Very simple. My partner or my friend plays golf, some twice a week, some three times a week. I say, how many hours? 18 holes, 4 hours. I know nothing. I only know that 18 holes, 4 hours. So my previous secretary wakes up early in the morning, before his day, 6 o'clock. What is she doing? Preparing to go and play golf. Polishing the club. Carrying all the bags. 6 o'clock at the golf course to tee off. Wonderful. For what? I'm not telling you not to play golf, please. I got nothing against golf. But I'm saying this. If you are serious for the Lord and you want to have the church revived, you cannot have one and the other at the same time. You just cannot. If I have 4 hours of time, I say, Lord, please let me do something for you and not to hope for the hole in one. No? There is a difference. So you got to ask yourself, weigh the pros and cons, weigh the benefits. If I do this, what will I get? If I use this time for God's purpose and for God's word, what will happen? This is the whole point. So if you don't play golf, average twice a week, you save 14,000 hours. Again, show me the evidence. The evidence is in serving the Lord. Some weeks preach 4 times, 5 times. We all have role models. I said the best role model is the Lord Jesus Christ. I've read to you that first chapter of Mark's Gospel. How he serves the Lord, serves the Heavenly Father. He says, I am here to do the Father's will. And that is my food. I missed the lunch, but this is my lunch. This is my food. There is something so important. I know my time is limited. He is the best model. You want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? My second model is the Dr. John Sung. In 15 years, he swept hundreds of thousands of his fellow Chinamen into the kingdom of God, preaching 3 times a day, every day, when he comes to Singapore for 2 weeks. Every week preaching 21 sermons, 2 hours per day. I say that kind of thing touches my heart. If he, a PhD, should give up the world to serve the Lord in this way, I say, can I do less? Follow him. We all like to look at someone and say, if God can do through this person, can he not use me as well? I say, you say the same. Yes. If the Lord has called me, can he not call you? What are you doing with your life? TV control, meaning to say, the average time people spend at the TV in Singapore is about 2 hours per day, per person. In America is 4 hours average, but for young people it's 8 hours. Right? This is statistics. Now, I don't watch television. Except Manchester United. But I tell you the secret. I watch the beginning, the end. I know how they start, I know how they end. I know the result, I'm happy. What do you do in between? I'm back with the Word of God. Yes. So I prepare my sermon. And I end up, I see they won 4-0. Wonderful. Dear friends, have a purpose in your life. Has the Lord called you to salvation? Yes. What are you doing about it? Oh, my friends, may tonight begin a new life in you, a new chapter. I did a 7-day lock, time lock of my life when I was young. 7 days. I chatted every day 24 hours and wrote down everything I did for 24 hours per day for 7 days. End of the study, I totaled up all the times I did for everything and found, to my horror, sleep time was far too much, and lazing time and doing nothing time, killing time, was far too much. From then onwards, I had a different timetable. God give you that timetable. The timetable that is effective. Time effectiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not live a happy-go-lucky, purposeless, aimless, timeless life. Anything will do. Just live. I say it is not worthy of a Christian. Redeem the time for the Lord who came to redeem you for Himself. Amen.